All right, folks, get your finger out and pit your football knowledge against Team OTB to win big. There's €2,500 for the winner of the OTB Final One Standing League on the William Hill app. Guaranteed winner, and it's exclusive to our own league. Just sign up at William Hill Final One Standing. Use the code OFFTHEBALL, that's all one word and all caps, and make sure you sign up before Friday the 15th at 8 o'clock when the new season kicks off. €2,500 to the winner, guaranteed.
Go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah,
I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you.
Hello and welcome to Word on the Street, where every week we take a different sporting topic, something that's been dominating the headlines, and we take it to the public to see what they think. Now, we have a very special episode for you this week with some behind-the-scenes content from the Irish Tennis Open, all about the science of racket stringing. It's a pretty niche, but it's one of the most fascinating pieces of interviewing that I've ever done. So here is episode 16, Meet the Stringers. What's it like having an open in Ireland and this kind of tournament for the players, and how do you get involved in doing this? Or do you work here full time?
So, yeah, it's great to have international events in Ireland. So we have a lot of junior international events, but this is the main senior event of the year. So my background, I've been stringing for about 23 years. Sort of under my CV would be I've done 10 Wimbledons, been a Davis Cup stringer as well, done about 14, 15 Davis Cup ties. Some Queen's Club events in London as well, pre-Wimbledon. I would string here at the Irish Open. I do a lot of the junior tournaments now. I don't travel as much, but I do a lot of junior tournaments here as well, as does Michael. We're both part of the Global Racket Stringers Association. The GRSA team are well supported here this week. We were both qualified under GRSA as well. So yeah, perfect.
And what's it like stringing at Wimbledon? Do you have is it more tension because you're doing it for like the world number one?
Tournament stringing brings its own pressures because you have players wanting rackets done fairly quickly. You have players maybe sending rackets off court, so that'll be maybe a slightly more of a rush, bit of adrenaline. We've been part of the Wimbledon team for 10 years was superb. There's about 17 But when I was there, there were 17 stringers there in the stringing room. We had running staff that ran rackets to the players on court as well. So yeah, it was a great event to be involved in. And you met with colleagues from around the world as well. At that time, I was the only stringer from Ireland actually on the team. So yeah, it was great.
Can you explain what this contraption is and what it does?
It's a stringing machine, racket stringing machine for the players. When the players want the racket strung, they bring it to us with their specifications of what they want it strung with, their string, what string they use, their tensions that they use as well. We pop them on the machine and string them for them for their next matches.
How does it differ from player to player with the way they want their racket strung?
So different players will play with different rackets, they'll play with different strings. So they'll because they're playing on the tour week in, week out, they'll have their specifications. This week, maybe in Ireland, when the weather conditions are a little bit maybe cooler, the courts are maybe a little bit faster, they might vary their tensions depending on that. Also depending on their opponent, who they're playing as well, they might do that. So yeah, player to player will differ, but they'll have their own specs that they give us and we string to their requirements.
And how many rackets do you tend to string in any kind of given day?
Oh, it's going to depend on the tournament, but I'd say our busiest day we're maybe doing about 25 each. We're here till 10 p.m. On Monday. Yes. And then yesterday there was high demand as well, so we'd be maybe expecting more to come in after the singles matches today, especially with the rain rain, they may be breaking a few more strings now that the balls are heavier, or with the colder conditions, they may want to like drop tension a little bit.
Is it like a full-time job, or do you have like a tennis shop as well, or like how do you practice stringing? It seems bizarre, but like I've never heard of it before. Well, obviously I've heard of it, but I didn't know it was a full-time thing.
So I don't work full-time at stringing. It's still a business that developed. I also work with some of the brands, some of the tennis brands as well. So I work in a lot of capacity within the tennis industry. So whether it's stringing, whether it's working with the brands, promoting the brands as well. So you've Babolat would be the main brands. Wilson would be one of the main brands as well. So I do that. So, and I work a lot with the junior players who play on tour all the time. And I have a couple of clubs that I have a stringing base in, both north and in the north and in the south as well. So,
have you done any Grand Slams, or what kind of tournaments have you done?
Unfortunately not. Hopefully I'll get there someday. But I've been mainly doing the tournaments around Ireland. So Tennis Ireland has a lot more international junior events being ran these days. And some of them do require a stringer to be on site at the tournament. That's a bit more manageable than say here at the senior event. You know, it would just be one of us there. There would be, I would say, 12, maybe 14, junior international events in Ireland these days. And we'd be present stringing at almost all of them. And we always get great feedback from the players. And we're just very happy to provide that service for them.
How do you get into stringing?
So I would have bought my first stringing machine when I was about 14. I was an avid tennis player, and my whole family played tennis, and we lived outside the city, so we were looking at like a 2-hour round trip to go drop a racket off. So I ended up buying a stringing machine myself and sort of learning how to do it. Certainly when it comes to my tennis ability, I quickly identified I did not have the skills to make it. Make a living playing tennis, so I've gone into stringing instead. I'm a big fan of the technical side of tennis, and racket technology, string technology. So over the years, I would have done a few different stringing courses. Got to learn under some of the best in the UK and such, and then eventually sort of working my way into tournaments. By showing a good standard of stringing and by really helping players along with getting their racket set up with different strings, different weights, different types of rackets.
And what's the dream?
Sorry?
What's the dream? Like, dream height of a stringer's career?
For me, I would say getting to string on the professional tour, on the ATP or WTA tour at somewhere like Wimbledon or Queen's Club in London would be a fantastic experience to get, and of course the other thing as well would be to sort of get a bit more involved with the higher end players, setting up their racket. And really getting dialed in to try and again optimize their games.
May I ask, if it's not too personal, can you make a good living out of stringing if you're at that top level, or even at the not top level?
There's sort of two pathways, as I would see it, from the experience I've had. There's in Ireland, there's probably, unless you have a shop. Unless you have a shop, obviously, that has a stringing service and you're selling stuff, you would make a decent living out of it there. To make a decent living out of it from a full-time perspective, you would need to travel a lot and do a lot of tournaments. So that's why sort of I would supplement income with other projects within the tennis industry as well. So it's an interesting. I mean, as far as the dreams were concerned, when I set a goal out very quickly. I sort of learned. So how I learned how to string was I actually emailed the guy that was the head stringer at Wimbledon for 15 years at that stage. I emailed him and said, look, would you teach me how to string?
And thankfully he said yes.
What was his name?
A guy called Ray Gooden. And Ray still, he's a great, as like Michael, he's very technical. He actually sets up stringing machines and he services machines as well.
Ray is still very active in the in the stringing community. I was in communication with him, I'd say, a few months ago, just because you know he's one of the few people around who would still be, you know, who would still have parts and know how to fix some of these machines here. So I mean, he's you know, he's still very he's still very active, and you know in repairing the machines. And keeping the whole stringing industry moving along. Yeah,
because it's a very exact science.
It is. It's pretty. You've got to be. I mean, although it's quite, it looks quite complicated, quite technical. It's quite simple when you get to learn how to do it. And most rackets are pretty standard. Although you would have different stringing patterns, so you would have different amounts of strings in the mains and the crosses. You would have certain rackets would you have to start at certain points as well. But yeah, it's just going back onto this or the dream. Whenever I started to learn how to string, I set a goal of 5 years to string at a major tournament and achieved Wimbledon 2.5 from when I started the string. So it was but you obviously have to have a passion for it as well. Yeah. You know.
Who was your kind of favourite players you've strung a racket for at Wimbledon? or least favourite?
Early. Going to start name dropping now,
least. I mean, I've been lucky enough to string for the likes of Nadal, Federer, Murray. Wimbledon, a lot of the players will use actually on-site service at the championships as well. But I mean, Rafa in particular would have been a guy that would have come in himself. And he was a great guy. He would have come in and he would have gone around basically everybody in the stringing room and sort of said hi to them and spent time with them as well. So, but I mean, ultimately as well, I mean, because we've spent so much time in Ireland here, we've got to know a lot of the junior players, and we've watched those junior players progress up into the senior ranks. So for instance, here this week, I've seen a lot of the guys. I've seen Conor Gannon go from juniors right up to his Davis Cup, and you've worked with those players right up through, and it's nice to see them.
There's definitely relationships that are built then between the tennis players here in Ireland and the stringers.
Absolutely. I'd say it is that thing of as the players sort of come in to get their rackets set up with the likes of Roger. There's definitely a lot of trust put into making sure the racket is absolutely right, and I can see that there's a couple of the Irish players whenever they come along to the tournaments, they're sometimes a bit relieved to see that it's Roger or maybe these days occasionally myself, they're sort of relieved to see it's one of us handling the tournament. Yes,
it's a familiar face.
Yeah. Someone they know who have done the rackets before. Yeah,
you were saying at Wimbledon the players have like stringers who are almost like a part of their team, is it?
Yeah, so all the stringing team at Wimbledon, there's about 6,000 to 7,000 contracted staff at Wimbledon. Within, we would be obviously part of that, but players would see us as an integral part of their team. They would have their coaches or their physical trainers, their nutritionists travel with them, but they would see us and they would treat us as part of their team. So they would come in and they would ask for some advice, they would chat to us as well. So, which is great. So, we'd be well looked after there, on the team. So, yeah, it's great. So basically, one racket. So one set of string to do one racket is. I'll give you guys. I'll ask you guys the question as well. So how much string in meters? How many meters do you think it takes to string one racket?
Well, I'm probably going to be really. I'm going to say 2, and I'm going to be really wrong.
Okay, so it's 12 meters.
Wow.
So 12 meters in a racket. So 12 meters in a set. So I'm just going to. We would use a stringer's
players, we would sort of have a, we'd use our wingspans.
It's one of those things that comes from experience. You know, when I first started, I was using a fixed measurement, measuring up meter by meter, trying to get it right. But then for me anyway, I think I'm on my 11th year of stringing. I just tend to eyeball it, and I'm usually right. I'm usually right.
You can have a meter rule up on a wall and just go 6 meters for crosses. We would set the tension, so if a player comes in and asks for a particular tension, so the machine can deal with pounds or it can deal with kilograms, it doesn't matter which. So in this case it's in pounds, so we're going to string this racket up at actually 48 pounds with this. We're going to be using one set of strings, so this is a soft polyester string in the mains, so it gives you a bit of durability on the string, but it also gives you a little bit of power as well. Okay, and we're not stringing it too tight for this particular player. There's two sort of standard knots on the professional tour. That would be called the Pro Knot, or this is called the Parnell Knot.
Why is it called the Parnell Knot?
It's because a guy called Richard Parnell, basically, who founded the GRSA. He's a mentor of mine. He's been a mentor of mine for many years. When I entered the stringing room at Wimbledon, he was the guy that took me under his wing. So I've worked with Richard for a long, long time, and he actually has his own set of tools that he's marketed as well.
These knots are developed, such that they're very secure. They won't slip back through the grommet. So they are just like that little bit big enough, but at the same time not too bulky that prevents you from stringing the racket correctly. And the advantage of something like a Parnell knot, a Pro knot, is it also doesn't put too much pressure on the existing string that you're actually tying it to. There would be different standards between different stringing teams, but for the most part, everyone will be using a Parnell knot or a Pro knot.
How many rackets would players at this level have, and how many times do they need to get them strung over the tournament?
They would be travelling with anywhere from maybe three at a minimum rackets, but maybe more likely five, six ish or so. They'd be travelling around with that amount of rackets. Generally, they would leave in probably two. Just they would have two the same, for their next match. And a lot of them at this stage would be getting the racket strung every match. They wouldn't necessarily be breaking the strings, but they can feel them just the tension just start to slip a little bit, and they're just looking for optimize their rackets as best as possible for these matches. They're looking to close up any kind of variable, and that's our job as stringers to make sure that this is ran very smoothly for them.
And I suppose for players at this level where the money isn't huge and they're trying to support themselves, like, does this cost money, this thing, getting the racket restrung?
Yes, so we would be paid per racket. We would just have a rate per racket, and then these players, they know exactly what they want, so that they will be travelling with their own strings that they may be getting from brand deals, sports shops, or other stringers. They may be getting them as part of their endorsement, and then they would give the string to us, and we would just charge a rate for it.
People look for when they string their rackets, because I remember in Wimbledon there was a German lady, I can't remember her name, but she would bring two rackets to the back of the court, and she would use one for serving and then one when she was like defending the other person's serve. What is it that they're doing? What's the difference? Because I think to a spectator you're like, oh, bizarre, but she obviously has a very specific.
So you'll have a lot of players will have, so there's different string setups for different things. So if players want maybe more power or more control. So the science behind it, just to keep it very simple, so if you want more power in your racket, you will string it looser, so the tension will be lower. Whereas if you want more control, you'll have it strung tighter. And it's the trampoline effect. So if you can imagine you on a trampoline and the ball on the racket, so the racket's the trampoline and you're the ball. So if you go down onto the trampoline, trampoline and you go right down to the trampoline, then it catapults you out at a faster rate. So the lower you go on a trampoline, it'll just fire you out. So it's the same with the string bed of a racket. So if you look at a slow motion on a racket, at a ball on a racket, you'll see it hitting the racket and then it comes back into the string bed, and then the string bed catapults it. So obviously the looser that is, the more power it generates. So yeah.
And for a device like the ones that you have here, are these sort of industry standard now, or how have they developed, I guess, over the years?
All the brands, I mean, most of the major brands, see, at Babolat, so Michael has a Babolat machine, and then this is a Wilson machine. You've got the head machines as well, so they're all pretty much, I mean, both machines here are continuous pull machines. They're electronic machines, so they're the up-to-date technology here. So we try to have these would be the machines that would be used at major tournaments throughout the world as well. So yeah, and the players are getting that consistency from the machine.
And could you string a Wilson racket on your one over there?
Oh, absolutely, yes. There'd be a lot of different brands making these stringing machines. Babolat, Wilson, Head, all sorts, and there would be an industry standard with these machines. It is these are very they're very much tour machines. They're good for traveling. They're very they're very robust, very reliable, and they're built on a very strong chassis. And then while they are electronic, the electronic tension puller is great for accuracy and consistency, but stringing is still very much a hand done skill. The person stringing the racket will make a huge difference on the racket, but absolutely everyone will be using electronic machines at these at these tournaments just for that extra consistency.
It's quite a long process. It's not
as Michael said before, it's still quite a very labour intensive manual process. Although you mount it on the machine and you can set the tension head, you still have to manually do a racket, and each racket takes anything depending on the string you're using, it can take sort of 20-25 minutes per racket. From start to finish.
Occasionally we would get the odd emergency one where someone is on court and they're down to their last rack, they want one done, in which case I could maybe get it done in about 15 minutes, but Roger here would be closer to 10 minutes if he really needed to get it done. Yeah.
And so do you guys just hate when players smash their rackets in anger on the court? Is that something?
Well, it's more of a hindrance to the player, because once they smash a racket on court, they don't have another racket, so we can't string it. So when they smash a racket, it's no use to them and it's no use to us. We can't do anything to help them.
All the beautiful handiwork destroyed.
It's expensive for the player as well.
And are these two different types of strings now? Because they look a slightly different colour.
Yes. So these are two different types of strings. These days with stringing, you put the strings into two categories. You would have polyester, copolyester strings that are very stiff. They've got a very high degree of control. Better spin potential, but they can be very underpowered. They can feel a bit like a plank of wood if they're not set up just right. And then the other type of strings, we would have multi-filament, synthetic guts, natural guts. They're far more elastic. They're very stretchy, so they would provide good power and feel in the rackets. With the downside obviously being that a very low degree of control, just because of how stretchy they are. So for a lot of club players, we would do something like this, which is a hybrid of the two, try and get some overall playability. And then there would be professional players going with a similar setup as well. The likes of Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer, they would have a hybrid setup in their rackets with the natural gut in the main strings and very popular polyester Luxalon Alu Power in the crosses.
So just what Michael's just been describing there, we have a player this week, Oscar Whiteman, who is using the natural gut setup in his mains. Mm-hmm. And he's using the polyesters in his crosses, similar to what Federer used in his
kids there, so yeah.
And would they send them to you kind of before the tournament or drop them off?
No, they would come with their reels, of string, and in this case a set of natural gut. This is probably the most expensive. This is the natural fibre, natural gut. It's a beautiful feel output. But interestingly enough, it's just a really nice, but it's expensive.
Natural gut
really
has probably
expensive.
been around the longest in terms of a type of string. You know, like 30-40 years ago, it was maybe the only thing that players used. But it's still relevant in tennis today, just because there's been no synthetic material that can match its elasticity. There's nothing else quite like it. But yes, very expensive, and it doesn't last too long. It maybe doesn't suit the weather in Ireland too much either. It doesn't like water, so we can't really play in the rain. But even though there's been a lot of advancements in technology with these stiffer strings, there's still a place for natural gut. It's still very widely used on the professional tour. Again, under that idea of trying to be as consistent as possible, we are between the two of us, we're sort of splitting the rackets up, but we're trying to stick with the same players we would have started stringing with at the start of the tournament. Again, there wouldn't be a whole lot of difference between the two of us and the two of our machines, because we're using very similar techniques and tour machines, but this is just to close up any variables we can, for that consistency that the players look for.
If I was to hand you two rackets that had been done by yourself and by Roger, would you be able to tell which one was done by each of you?
We probably could tell just because of maybe how the knots are sort of cut off a bit, mine might be cut a little shorter, a little longer or something. We could probably tell, but there wouldn't be a big practical difference in the final product in terms of tension and how well it would be done. Occasionally I would see my regular customers come to me back home, and I can see occasionally Roger did this one, so I know it's been done well.
we're trying to, and this is why it's important that stringers you'll know the difference between stringers that have been qualified through an association, or guys that have taught themselves on YouTube, for instance, right? So my question would be, if you were to go to a dentist or go to a surgeon or go to a doctor, would you trust one that has taught themselves on YouTube? So, and we're trying to get consistency, and there's more and more people. I actually teach guys how to string through GRSA courses, so we're trying to get more and more people involved and get them certified, so that because there's more and more tournaments here, we want people then to be able to be at the same standard as we have, so there's consistency right across the board, because players are paying for a service, so you want to pay for a service that's consistent and good.
I suppose for players it's just trying to extract every inch of performance that they can get.
Absolutely, yeah. It takes a lot of training to improve on the tennis court, but something like a good racket setup, this can be easily done by a stringer who knows what they're doing.
So just then, this is a little bit of fun we can have as well at events. There's quite a bit of wastage on string, so at certain tournaments, we would actually get some of the kids, some of the local junior tournaments that I actually worked at. We actually gave the kids a lot of just string cuts. And we can actually make tennis rackets from them.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Could you make one for us now?
Yeah, we'll make you one now.
I'm guessing none of these are kind of biodegradable or anything. They're all...
Yeah, that's the one advantage of, natural gut. It is technically biodegradable.
Yeah, natural gut.
Although it isn't vegan. So, yeah. But, yes, unfortunately, a lot of these strings, they aren't biodegradable. and you do end up with a bit of wastage at the end of the day. There are some strings these days that are made from recycled materials, which is, a very exciting new thing. I believe Luxalon has one, Isospeed, an Austrian string brand has one. I think it's called Isospeed Restring, and they're made from recycled PET, which is plastic bottles. I'm very interested to see where that goes. But for the time being, I would like to think that restringing the tennis racket keeps the tennis racket good, and that you don't really have to replace that.
So do you need to be a little bit of a perfectionist to work in this job?
It's something that we, when you do your qualification, when you work with GRSA, their standard, their industry standards are very high. So that's where we would teach. I mean, that's where we would teach on the courses. Yeah, just attention to detail. I mean, these guys are using it's their tools of their trade.
Attention to detail is a big thing for sure. We would try to put the racket the same way round on the machine every time, in terms of, sort of lengthways. We can flip it one way or the other. Whenever we're doing the machine, we try to have it the same way round on the machine. Even here on the machine, a lot of modern machines would have markings top and bottom, so that you can consistently put your racket into the machine.
So obviously we're here at the Irish Open. It's been a few, it's the qualifiers are just done. What's the rest of the week going to look like for you?
The rest of the week, well, it should start to get a bit slower for us at the stringing machines because we'll have a few less players around. They're going to head off to their next tournaments or their next training places. For us, we're going to stay by the machines. Make sure that we can handle any players who might have need a racket that needs a quick turnaround if they're on court. Our evenings, I'm sure we'll have a set of rackets ready to, that need strung for the next day, but I'm really hoping to get to see some of the tennis. We've got a great, there's one of the few clubs where we've got a great view of the centre court of the main matches, and I'm definitely hoping to see a bit of Michael Agwee play later. We're getting to see some of Conor Gannon play now. These are some of our top Irish players. I'm excited to see them do well at least at this tournament.
Wow. Thank you both so much. This has been really, really interesting. There's so much of tennis that I don't think you see behind the scenes when you just watch on the TV or you just watch out there. So, yeah, thank you very much.
No problem at all. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
All right, folks, get your finger out and pitch your football knowledge against Team OTB to win big. There's €2,500 for the winner of the OTB Final One Standing League on the William Hill app. Guaranteed winner, and it's exclusive to our own league. Just sign up at William Hill Final One Standing, use the code OFFTHEBALL, that's all one word and all caps, and make sure you sign up before Friday the 15th at 8 o'clock when the new season kicks off. €2,500 to the winner, guaranteed.